for Communities Impact Diabetes Center, a CDC REACH U.S. funded center of excellence for the elimination of disparities at Mount Sinai. She oversees the center's programmatic activities, which aim to address diabetes-related disparities in East Harlem, New York. So we look forward to hearing more about IMPACT.
Where is the center?
I think it's
over here. Okay. Well, good afternoon. As Nita mentioned, I'll be presenting Community Impact Diabetes Center's Vision Health Toolkit program, which utilizes lay health social service providers as messengers of important vision health information. I have no disclaimers. In this presentation, I will briefly discuss the state of vision health and disparities in the United States, review findings from some of our earlier work exploring vision health among specifically Harlem residents, and present a community-based pilot intervention we did aimed at increasing comprehensive eye exams and results and implications of that intervention. So this is a group that I probably don't have to present these statistics to, but I will. Over 65 million American adults have vision problems. The most common and correctable are refractive errors, followed by cataracts and diabetic retinopathy. Although many of these conditions are preventable or correctable, an aging population and escalating prevalence of both diabetes and related chronic conditions are expected to dramatically increase these numbers, actually within the next decade. So this represents a substantial number of people whose vision is currently or will be compromised at some point. And there's significant disparities in vision health and vision screening. We know there's racial ethnic disparities in the prevalence of diabetes, with African Americans and Latinos among those populations suffering the greatest burden. And these disparities hold in terms of diabetes-related eye conditions, such as diabetic retinopathy and blindness. So furthermore, annual comprehensive eye exams are recommended for adults after age 40 and for people with diabetes at any age, but we know that people with diabetes, at least for people with diabetes, the rates vary, but at most, the best estimate is about 2/3 get an annual eye exam. And while African Americans and Latinos have higher risks, they are less likely to receive the recommended vision screenings due to lack of health insurance and other sort of access to care barriers. So in 2007, Mount Sinai received funding from CDC REACH US program, and with that funding spearheaded a formation of a community academic coalition comprised of researchers, community members, and representatives of community-based organizations. And our focus was addressing diabetes-related disparities, specifically among African Americans and Latinos. And ours was a coalition rooted in engagement and partnership. So we focused engagement in the communities of East and Central Harlem, because the former is where Mount Sinai is located, and the latter is a neighborhood in very close proximity. These communities are characterized in terms of socioeconomic demographics as low income, predominantly African American, Latino, and some of the very highest obesity and diabetes prevalence and mortality rates in New York City. So fairly early on, our coalition identified vision health as an area of focus. There's a lot of work happening around other diabetes-related issues, around nutrition in New York City. So we sort of kind of tried to forge a new path into what isn't being focused on, and they identified vision as one of those areas. So we first tried to explore the problem locally, and then aim to develop an intervention to improve receipt of eye screening. So as I mentioned earlier, a few years ago, we did some formative work in our community to better understand the status of vision health locally, because we had no statistics about what sort of the scope of the problem in our neighborhood. We conducted a survey of over 600 Harlem older adults, and poor health in older adults, not surprising, but really it was kind of surprising in terms of just how high the numbers were, where a lot of these people had some real difficulties with their vision, as shown by these statistics here. Approximately 1/4 met criteria for low vision based on a screening questionnaire, And in our exploration, we also found disparities in self-reported eye exams and prevalence of low vision between some of the subgroups. So now that we had a better understanding of what was going on with vision health locally, we set out to develop and pilot a community-based intervention which aimed to increase comprehensive eye exams, particularly among people with diabetes, which was a high-risk population. Our vision health work group, which was a subgroup of our coalition, used community-based participatory research approaches to develop our intervention and evaluation. So work group members included a certified diabetes educator and a nurse practitioner, health educators, vision experts, seniors, community members, specifically community members who had taken part in a photo voice project about the impact of vision loss on their daily lives. And as well as staff from IMPACT. So together we developed a bilingual English-Spanish toolkit and pre-tested it with members of our target population in local CBOs. We recruited sites that agreed to house our toolkit, as well as that would designate at least one vision health champion at their site. And vision health champions were oriented to the toolkit materials and trained to engage consumers in conversations about vision health in their daily interactions with them, as well as encourage those who had not had a comprehensive eye exam within the past year to get one. Finally, we conducted our evaluation. We did a baseline survey and a six-month follow-up at randomly selected participating sites. So pictured here is the vision health toolkit our work group developed. It includes an informational brochure about what a comprehensive eye exam entails. We found from pre-testing, a lot of people just don't understand what a comprehensive, we called it a complete eye exam, just to be a little bit, easier on the health literacy. Who should get one and when and where to get one nearby. So we listed places very close within the neighborhood or nearby where they could get one. A poster with a cartoon about the importance of getting an eye exam. We developed this character, Dr. Seasgood, and he sort of was a character that showed up in all of the materials. So he was kind of like, you know, if you saw him somewhere, you kind of made the connection that this was the same campaign. A magnifier card with the message, if you need this card to see clearly, you may need to get your eyes checked. And that was a huge hit with consumers, so something that they could take away with them that was functional in their everyday. And a vision health champion button that the champs were encouraged to wear to identify themselves at the sites and encourage conversation about the toolkit materials. In addition, the toolkits included a letter from our director with vision health facts, the purpose of our toolkit, and how vision health champs could help, along with a few publications about vision health and disparities in screenings. And whenever possible, the staff would put up or set out the toolkit materials in areas that were designated by the vision health champs as being high traffic areas within the site. So we identify potential CBOs through an internet directory of local social service agencies in East and Central Harlem. We identified about 60 potential sites, which included sites ranging from faith-based organizations to food pantries to multi-service and social service agencies. Our staff owned 60 sites, 38 of which agreed to participate. We couldn't reach anyone at 10 sites even after repeated calls, and 12 sites declined or were soft refusals, meaning we reached them at least once to explain sort of what our intervention or what our goal was, and they were either unable to designate a vision health champion at their site because they just didn't have sort of manpower, or were unresponsive to our follow-up calls. We distributed toolkits and trained a total of 61 vision champions across 35 sites, with 3 sites randomly chosen as control sites. And the directors of participating CBOs on average selected 1 or 2 staff members or volunteers to serve as the vision health champion for that site. 12 of 35 participating CBOs were randomly selected for consumer evaluations or surveys at baseline in 6 months, and we did surveys at all 3 control community-based organizations. We also attempted to survey all vision health champions. We surveyed across 35 sites. We did so for at baseline and as well as 6 months after our program started. So with regard to consumer surveys, we surveyed 156 consumers at 15 randomly selected sites, 12 were intervention sites, 3 were control sites. We aim to survey 10 people, about 10 people per site, but in a few cases we got fewer, and in a couple we got more, so on average it was 10 per site. We surveyed a convenience sample of consumers at these CBOs on a pre-designated survey day, so they knew we were coming. We were able to survey 62% of consumers, of the same consumers at the follow-up. As for the implementation evaluation with the Vision Health Champions, we were able to survey 44 of 61 Vision Champs at the 6-month post-intervention survey across the 35 sites. As you can see, the survey domains that we asked were, you know, how easy or difficult was it to use the toolkit? Were you able to integrate or develop new programming around the toolkit? And what sort of feedback did you get from consumers? So quickly, the consumers we surveyed were mostly adults, 56 years of age and older, most female and Black African American, with 1/3 identifying as Latino. As far as educational attainment, it was split between low and high, with nearly 40% of our sample reporting less than a high school education. Nearly 1/4 reported having diabetes and 1/3 hypertension. The majority of our sample reported having had a comprehensive eye exam in the past 6 months, so that at baseline was already fairly high. We when we surveyed people, because we already knew that there was not a clear understanding of what a comprehensive eye exam entailed, we defined it for them, and we said that included a check of vision or glasses, a check of your pressure in your eye for glaucoma, and dilation of your eyes with drops to see in the back of your eyes. So as this graph shows, of our total sample, 45% of consumers at intervention sites reported having a complete eye exam in the past 6 months at the follow-up, compared with 24% of those at the control sites. And of those with diabetes, 56% in the intervention group reported a complete eye exam in the past 6 months, compared with none in the intervention group. So while it's a promising finding, the sample size is just too small to do any statistical testing for significance. And this slide shows percent of consumers by diabetes status that had a comprehensive eye exam at the 6-month follow-up. 27% of people with diabetes had a complete eye exam in the past 6 months at the follow-up, compared with 13% of people without diabetes, and this was statistically significant. As far as what we heard from the Vision Health Champs, by and large, they received very positive feedback with regard to this program. The majority of Vision Health Champs said the toolkit was easy or somewhat easy to implement, and that they received positive feedback from consumers at their site. There were no reported challenges in implementing, most reported no challenges in implementing the program. But of those that did report challenges, not having enough time in the day or needing more information or sort of more support to be able to be an effective champion were the most commonly reported challenges. Nearly 1 in 3 integrated the toolkit into some pre-existing programming, whether it be health education presentations where they brought in the vision aspect or some sort of thing like that. One site actually developed a new community health worker vision health navigator program, and as long as the toolkits were available, all planned to continue using it. So there were limitations. Again, quickly, we had a small convenient sample of consumers, which in some cases proved much too small for statistical testing. All data were self-reported, so we didn't do any sort of checks in their medical records or anything. We sort of just asked them, did you get an eye exam? So obviously those are subject to various response biases. And moreover, we only gathered follow-up data 6 months out, though exams are recommended yearly, and this was due to basically the impending end of our funding, and we couldn't be sure we would get no-cost extension, so we couldn't do a longer follow-up period. So in conclusion, even in a small pilot project, we found that we were able to significantly increase comprehensive eye exams at intervention sites compared to control sites overall, and we found an apparent improvement in eye exams among those people with diabetes, though again our sample size was very small, so it didn't lend itself to significance testing. Furthermore, data from Sight Health Champions suggests it's feasible to implement a community-based intervention in low-income settings where people frequently congregate and interact with a range of social service providers. So again, these are places that people go, if they don't go on a daily basis, they go on a frequent basis and form real relationships with the social service providers and staff at these locations. So it is nice that it can sort of be inserted in casually into conversations with them. Novel scalable approaches such as the use of health champions in social service settings may be a viable means of promoting not only comprehensive eye exams, but health screenings of other sorts, and gets us thinking about other aspects of disease prevention and control and how we can sort of bring them into the fold. And finally, it's critical to keep in mind that community partners can ask innovative questions and devise innovative solutions to some of our most pressing public health and medical issues. So I just want to thank our funders, members of our coalition, community partners, program staff, and interns for their commitment and contributions to this project. And I want to thank you all for your time.
Thanks, Michelle. That was great. Are there any questions in regards to the IMPACT project?
Some we had existing relationships with, others we did not. It wasn't too difficult, so if they were on board, they were on board early. I feel like as long as they had at least one staff member or volunteer that was willing and motivated to sort of take on this role, it worked out. For them, it was like, sure, we don't have any materials on this topic. And it'd be easy enough to sort of hand it out, put it up, things of that sort. So it was sort of it wasn't tremendously difficult to persuade them to participate. Yeah.
Who was the age range again of the people in the focus groups?
The survey, the consumers who were surveyed?
Yeah, and you said that there was, you know,
yeah.
Knowledge and education, there were barriers, but, oh, 18 to.
Oh, greater than 56.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, do you happen to know how many of those people have children? Because one of the things that
I've been
looking at, so for instance, you know that those consumers have issues with knowledge and barriers and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, if they're not getting eye exams, then you know they should be getting them. Are their kids getting them?
We certainly didn't ask that. Our as you can see that our sample was. Somewhat older, so their kids are probably adults as well. So we don't have a huge population. We would have, I'm assuming you're talking about younger children. We just didn't have an incredibly young population that we reached out to and were able to get. So probably not so many.
Although in this particular population,
The grandparents.
The grandparents.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we didn't ask that question.
Okay.
No.
That kind of follows up on my question. You know, with this project going forward, knowing what population that you've gotten in your first response, would you perhaps modify to target a different age group, perhaps, you know, to capture like the sandwich mom generation where mm-hmm. they're caring for your younger children and also maybe also caring for an older parent?
Mm.
Mm-hmm. To get the whole age
thing. Yeah. I mean, that is interesting. We did do, several years ago, we did sort of a really long survey when we were sort of doing a needs assessment initially for this program. We asked a whole bunch of diabetes health-related questions, and we had just a few questions on vision health about, like, do you have trouble seeing the street signs and things of that sort? And I can remember, and this is just 18 years and older, it was a street intercept survey, and surprisingly, that was a younger, I can't remember the average age, but that was a much younger sort of sample, and about 22% said they had issues with these vision these vision issues. So from early on, we kind of wanted to explore the vision aspect, but we didn't think about that sort of, how do you get sort of at a place where you can get different generations thinking about that. But our funding has ended, the REACH funding has ended, but hopefully there will be some traction, and we're willing to share our graphics. We've actually, a community health center has actually expressed interest in picking this up. So we sent our graphics over to them, so it's, why not share? And they're going to go ahead and reprint these and keep it going. So we're willing to do that.
That was my question, what's happening with the project now?
Yeah.
Are the other communities, the partners still working with, are the champions still providing the information to?
Well, it's the resource, the material, the actual materials have dried up. So they are all, so that's why this this particular community health center is going to be, you know, at least within their clinics. They have 17 satellite clinics in New York, in the state of New York. So they'll be picking it up. But that's the issue with this, is how do you get it reprinted and keep it going? Yeah.
Since you've already identified these champions mm-hmm. in the community, you may want to contact NEHAP. With diabetes, mm-hmm. they have a very, very nice diabetes toolkit
mm-hmm.
That they send out to health promoters so they can give into the community. And since you already have identified those people who are willing to do that,
yeah.
And the aspect of diabetes, there's materials that you can find.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm familiar with those.
Well, I actually work with a contractor that does work with NEHAP, and you know, I also have a toolkit targeting older adults in the community setting with three modules. And in the days of limited budget for printing, what we found, and what we consider different, taking it and putting it out online as like a downloadable, accessible PDF file.
Mm-hmm, which we did. We had at one point, but our website also, now that we have no funding, our website is now not up anymore. But yeah, that's a good idea to see where else we could get it back up. Yeah, I am familiar with their materials, so that is a good idea. I think they had also a comic. Is that the one that also has? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. They were actually, they didn't get any other type of training. So that was one concern that was, not concern, but we made sure to approach them like, you shouldn't think of yourself as you having to be a vision health expert. So you really don't need to know anything more than what's included in the materials, or you don't even have to say, as long as you put it in their hands and point them to where they can find the information or where they can go and get the exam or who they can talk to at any of these locations. So beyond orienting them and familiarizing them with each of the components of the toolkit and what they could do with them, that was all the training that they had. So they were not trained to be vision experts, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so both. So the toolkit had things that consumers could take away with them, like the brochure, the magnifying card. There was a poster that wasn't intended to give away, but to be placed in the site as a sort of visual. And then some of the, like the champion button was for the champion. There was reading materials, sort of publications that if they wanted to read more about or were interested in reading more about this topic, that was for the vision health champion or any staff, you know, that wanted to read about that. So there was both.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Steph.
Thank you.
Thanks for all those questions.